بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والحمد لله رب العالمين وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد. In this lesson, in the series of lessons in the tafsir of the Quran and the tafsir of the smaller surahs from Juz Amma, from the 30th Juz of the Quran. And the reason why we're studying the tafsir of the Qur'an at this time is because we're approaching the month of the Qur'an, i.e. Ramadan. And in order to prepare ourselves for Ramadan, we're learning about some of the smaller, shortest chapters or surah in the Qur'an, so that when it comes to us reading the Qur'an, reciting it, praying Taraweeh, we understand and we can comprehend the deep and profound meanings in these surah, in these chapters. And the surah that we're going to come to today is Surah Al-Masad. And it has a number of names. It is called Surah Tabbat and Surah Al-Lahab and Surah Abi Lahab and Surah Al-Masad. And this short surah, one of the shortest chapters of the Quran, it has been given all of these four names because each one of these words is mentioned in the surah. And the contents or the message behind this chapter, Tabbat Yada Abi Lahabin Watab, the contents of this chapter is that it is a criticism of a man called Abu Lahab and his wife. And all of this chapter is regarding both of these people, Abu Lahab and his wife. Abu Lahab, he was the uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam from his father's side, meaning that Abu Lahab was the brother of the father of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Abu Lahab, his name is Abdul Uzza ibn Abdul Muttalib ibn Hashim. And the name of the father of the Prophet is Abdullah ibn Abdul Muttalib ibn Hashim. And therefore, Abdullah and Abdul Uzza, i.e. Abu Lahab, they were both brothers, either stepbrothers or full brothers. And the wife of Abu Lahab, her name was Jamil Arwa bint Harb. Jamil Arwa bint Harb. And she was the sister of Abu Sufyan, alayhi ridwanullah. She was the sister of Abu Sufyan. And therefore, she is the auntie of the son of Abu Sufyan, Muawiyah radiallahu anhu. So the wife of Abu Lahab, Jamil, Arwa bint Harb, she is the auntie of Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan, radiallahu anhuma. And Abu Lahab, he was from the chieftains of Quraysh, i.e. those people who had a status and authority in Mecca that other people looked up to, and he was from the chiefs of Quraysh. They had four children. Abu Lahab, whose name was Abdul Uzza, and his wife Jamil Arwa bint Harb, they had four children. Three sons and one daughter. The name of their sons was Utbah ibn Abi Lahab, Utbah, the son of Abu Lahab, and Mu'tib ibn Abi Lahab, Mu'tib, the son of Abi Lahab, and then Utaybah ibn Abi Lahab, Utaybah, the son of Abi Lahab, and then finally, the daughter, or his daughter, their daughter, Durrah bint Abi Lahab, Durrah, the daughter of Abu Lahab. From these four children, three of them accepted Islam and one remained and died upon kufr and disbelief like both of his parents. So Utbah and Mu'tib were Muslims and they were from the companions. And then Utaybah ibn Abi Lahab remained as a disbeliever and died as a disbeliever. And then Durrah bint Abi Lahab, she was also a female companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And both of the sons, Utbah and Mu'tib, They both accepted Islam towards the end of the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When Mecca was conquered towards the end of the Prophet's life, then both of them accepted Islam. The two sons of Abu Lahab, Utbah and Utaybah, both of them were married to the daughters of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this was, of course, before Islam. Even before Islam, even before prophethood, then both of them were married to the daughters of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Kulthum radiyallahu anha was married to Utaybah, and Ruqayyah, the daughter of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, she was married to Utbah. And these are the same two female companions, or these are the same two daughters of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who then were divorced, and then Uthman radiallahu anhu married both of them. Of course, married them separately, never married them together. One died, and then Uthman radiallahu anhu married the other one. And for this reason, Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu was called Dhun Nurain, the one who possessed the two lights, meaning the one who was married to the two daughters of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Kulthum and Ruqayyah. May Allah be pleased with all of them. When Islam came and the prophethood was given to our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and when this surah Tabbat Yada Abi Lahabin wa Tab was revealed, at that time, as I mentioned, Abu Lahab and his family were all disbelievers. And out of his anger, he ordered his two sons to divorce the daughters of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So when they then divorced the daughters, then later on Uthman radiallahu anhu, he married them both. One of the sons, Utaybah, who died as a disbeliever, he was going on a journey to Syria. And you know that in the days of the Quraysh, they used to take journeys for trade in their caravans. In the summer, they would go to Syria where it is cooler, and in the winter, they would go to Yemen when it is slightly warmer. And this journey is what Allah mentioned in Surah Al-Ilaf Quraysh, رِحْلَةَ الشِّتَاءِ وَالصَّيْفِ, the journey of the summer and the winter. I, in the summer, the Quraysh would journey to the north, Sham, Syria, because it is cooler, and in the winter they would go to Yemen, the south, because the weather is warmer. Utaybah, who died as a disbeliever from the sons of Abu Lahab, when he wanted to go out on a journey to Syria, then he went to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He went to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, disbelieving in him, mocking him, and saying bad things about him. He went in front of him, فَبَصَقَ أَمَامَهُ, and he spat in front of him sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then in front of him, he divorced the daughter of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. At this, the Prophet became very angry, and he supplicated against Utaybah. He said, Allahumma sallit alayhi kalban, O Allah, send a dog upon him, or send an animal upon him. When Abu Lahab heard of this dua of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Inni la akhafu alaihi da'wat Muhammadin." Indeed, I fear that the supplication of Muhammad will occur upon his son Utaybah. Anyway, they went on the journey, and Abu Lahab was fearful of this dua, and they came to a place where they were going to rest. And when he said to them that, "I am scared of this dua occurring upon my son Utaybah," the people around him said, "La kalla, no, don't worry, it won't be a problem, nothing will happen." فَحَوَّطُوا الْمَتَاعِ, and then they placed Utaybah in the middle, and around him all the luggage. وَقَعَدُوا يَحْرُسُونَهُ, and all of them sat around Utaybah, protecting him from any animals. And it's mentioned in the books of the seer, فَجَاءَ السَّبْعُ, that a predator, an animal, a hyena or a lion, came at night, فَانْتَزَعُهُ فَذَهَبَ بِهِ, and he took Utaybah. He killed Utaybah and took him away. And then when Abu Lahab, he was told of what had happened to his son, he said, أَلَمْ أَقُلْ لَكُمْ إِنِّي أَخَافُ عَلَيْهِ دَعْوَةُ مُحَمَّدٍ. Did I not say to you all that I was scared of the supplication of Muhammad upon my son? So Abu Lahab and his wife Jamil, both of them were enemies to Islam and enemies to the people of Islam, i.e. the Sahaba al-Kiram, and enemies to the Prophet of Islam, i.e. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this surah, this chapter, it was revealed to criticize them and to humiliate them and to dispraise them. And one of the amazing things of this surah is that this surah in itself is a miracle from the miracles of the Quran. Because remember, this surah, this chapter, it was revealed whilst Abu Lahab and his wife were both alive. Both of them were alive in Mecca, and then the surah was revealed, and then later on they passed away. And in this surah, in this chapter, Allah condemns both Abu Lahab and his wife to Jahannam, and that they will remain in Jahannam forever. So if Abu Lahab wanted to disprove the Quran and he wanted to defeat Islam, the only thing he had to say in his life was, I accept Islam. If he had said, I accept Islam, I am a Muslim, even if he was lying and out of nifaq, out of hypocrisy, then the Quran would have been made out to be false. But from the miracles of Allah, despite this challenge being there in his lifetime, they didn't accept Islam and they died upon disbelief. And it's mentioned that Abu Lahab, he died a few nights after Ghazwat al-Badr, out of anxiety and horror about the defeat of the non-Muslims at the hands of the Muslims at Ghazwat al-Badr. Then a few nights afterwards, he passed away. And some of the scholars of the seerah, they mentioned that he was affected by an illness in his stomach or his abdomen, such that the other people of Quraysh, they were scared to go near his dead body because they were scared that maybe they will catch some of his illness. And after a few days passed and he was lying there outside, they then dug a hole or a grave or a ditch, and then with a stick they threw him into the grave because they were scared to approach him. And before we go into the tafsir of this surah, Tabbat Yada Abi Lahabin Watab, there's a point that I want to mention. This is a doubt that some of the people of innovation mention in order to prove the validity of Eid Maulid al-Nabawi, celebrating the birthday of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And it's linked to Abu Lahab. They say that Abu Lahab, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was born, he freed his slave girl called Thuwaybah. And he freed his slave girl, Thuwaybah, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was born on a Monday, on the birthday of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And because of him freeing his slave girl on this day, then the punishment is lessened, or a small part of the finger of Abu Lahab is free from punishment. And they mention this doubt, and they say that this therefore proves the validity of celebrating the birthday of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Now this story, the story of Abu Lahab freeing his slave girl Thuwaybah, it's authentic. And its asal is in Sahih Bukhari. In Sahih Bukhari, the story is, or the hadith is, that some of the female companions, they came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and they said to him, why don't you marry a particular woman called Bint Abi Salama, the daughter of Abu Salama. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to them, to the female companions, that I cannot marry her because I'm like an uncle towards her. Because Abu Salama and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam were stepbrothers. Both of them had been breastfed by the same suckling mother. And this is the type of brotherhood in Islam. When two people are breastfed by the same suckling mother, then they become like brothers. And therefore that which is haram for brothers in terms of marriage and so on and so forth becomes haram for them. So they are like stepbrothers or brothers due to the same suckling mother. So Abu Salama and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, they were both like brothers, and therefore the daughter of Abu Salama, bint Abi Salama, she's like a niece of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And of course, a man is not allowed to marry his niece. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, أَرْضَعَتْنِي وَأَبَا سَلَمَ ثُوَيْبَ. That Thuwaybah, the slave girl of Abu Lahab, she breastfed me and Abu Salama. This is what Bukhari mentions in his hadith. Then afterwards, Bukhari says, وَقَالَ عُرْوَى. That Urwa said, Urwa, one of the narrators, he said, Urwa said, وَثُوَيْبَ مَوْلَاتْ لِأَبِي لَهَبْ. That Thuwaybah, she was the slave girl of Abu Lahab. وَكَانَ أَبُو لَهَبْ قَدْ أَعْتَقَهَا. And Abu Lahab, he had freed her. فَأَرْضَعَتْ النَّبِي. And then Thuwaybah, once she had been freed by Abu Lahab, she then breastfed the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And here's the point. فَلَمَّا مَاتَ أَبُو لَهَبْ. And when Abu Lahab died, رَآهُ بَعْضُ أَهْلِهِ فِي النَّوْمِ. That some of his family members, some of the family members of Abu Lahab, they saw him in a dream. فَقَالُوا لَهُ مَاذَا لَقِيتْ. So the family member said to him in their dream, to Abu Lahab in the dream, what happened? What did you find? And Abu Lahab said, فَأَشَارَ إِلَى النَّقَرَةِ. That Abu Lahab, he pointed towards his thumb or one of his fingers. And he mentioned that because of me freeing Thuwaybah, then my punishment is lessened, or I don't feel any punishment in this finger or this thumb. And this is where the narration stops in Al-Bukhari. So those people, those groups, they use this narration of Thuwaybah to prove the permissibility of celebrating Eid Milad al-Nabi. Why? Because they claim that Abu Lahab, he freed his slave girl on Monday, on the 12th of Rabi al-Awwal, the birthday of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and therefore it's permitted to do. Now, the answer to this is through various angles. Firstly, that this statement of Abu Lahab freeing his slave girl, it wasn't mentioned by Bukhari in the hadith. Rather, qala Urwa, Urwa said. And therefore this is a narration which has been mentioned by Urwa, but not a part of the initial hadith. Number two, in Islam, seeing things in a dream have no basis in Islam, and they don't have any effect or any ruling in Islam. Let me give you an example. If we sitting here, if we differed over the starting of Ramadan, we were debating and discussing when Ramadan starts or when Eid starts, and one of us, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam came to him in his dream. A person saw the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam in his dream. And the Prophet said to him in his dream that Ramadan is going to start on Monday. Is this now enough as an evidence for this person to say, that because I saw the Prophet in my dream telling me that Ramadan starts on Monday and everybody's differing, that now we take this opinion? Would we accept the statement of this person, even if he was truthful, even if he says that I did see the Prophet in my dream, and he told me that Monday is Ramadan, is it permitted for us to take this as a reason to start fasting on the Monday? What do you think? No. Even if it was the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and the person was truthful. Obviously, this is an issue of fiqh. And Imam An-Nawawi, rahimullah, he mentions in his book, Al-Majmu', which is a book of fiqh, he mentions, لو كانت ليلة الثلاثين من شعبان. If it is the 30th night of الشعبان, ولم يرى الناس الهلال, and the people, they haven't seen the hilal, the new moon. فرأى إنسان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في منام. And a man, he saw the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم in his dream. فقال له, so the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said to him, اللَّيْلَةُ أَوَّلُ رَمَضَانِ. But this night, it is the first night of Ramadan. Imam An-Nawawi says لَمْ يَصِحْ الصَّوْمْ بِهَذَا الْمَنَامِ, that because of this dream, the fasting isn't correct. So it's not permitted for him to fast, and neither is it permitted for anybody else to fast, even if it is the dream of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And then afterwards, Al-Imam al-Nawawi rahimullah says, وَنَقَلَ الْقَاضِي الْعِيَاضِ الْإِجْمَاعَ عَلَيْهِ, that Al-Qadhi al-Iyad, he has mentioned that there is ijma', there is unanimous agreement of all of the ulama of Ahlul Sunnah regarding this. So if this is regarding a man seeing the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, then how about Abu Lahab being seen in a dream? Of course, even more, Abu Lahab being threatened with Jahannam and remaining there forever, it doesn't have any bearing on whether it is good or bad, or whether we should celebrate the birthday or not, whether it was true or it wasn't. Also, another angle is that Urwa, he only mentioned that some of the family of Abu Lahab saw him in a dream. And again, because he hasn't specified who, how, it's just that some of his family saw him in a dream, then this does not prove the validity of anything. Also, another point that we could make regarding this is that in that hadith in Sahih Bukhari, in that narration, there is no mention that Abu Lahab freed his slave girl on a Monday, or the 12th of Rabi al-Awwal, or on the day in which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was born. And the only place in which this is mentioned is by a scholar called As-Suhayli in his book Ar-Rawd al-Unuf, and this is a book of As-Sirah. And in this book, he mentions without any chain of narration, neither is it authentic or hasan or weak or munqati or mursal, anything, with absolute no chain of narration, As-Suhayli mentions in Ar-Rawd al-Unuf this, that Abu Lahab, he freed his slave girl on the day that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was born. And again, because this statement has absolutely no chain of narration, then we don't rely upon this statement. And therefore, for people to deceive the people and say that it is mentioned in Sahih al-Bukhari, then this is incorrect. Another point that the scholars have actually mentioned, that Abu Lahab, he freed his slave girl much after the birth of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. It wasn't when he was born. And this was mentioned by Al-Hafidh Ibn Hajar in his Sharh of Sahih Bukhari, and Ibn Abdul Barr in Al-Isti'ab, and also Ibn al-Jawzi in his book of Sirah. After all of this, even if we were to accept that Abu Lahab, he freed his slave girl on the day that the Prophet was born, on a Monday, on the 12th of Rabi al-Awwal, and we accept everything, although we don't, even if we were to accept it, then even then it isn't a proof to celebrate the birthday of the Prophet. Why? Because the companions, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam before them, the Tabi'een, Imam al-Bukhari who mentions the narration, Urwa who came with the narration, the Imams who came after them, not a single one of them ever understood from this narration that therefore we should celebrate the birthday of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And as I always mention the principle, لَوْ كَانَ خَيْرًا لَسَبَقُونَا إِلَيْهِ, that if this action had any goodness in it, then those who came before us, the Imams and the scholars, then they would have done the action before us. So this was a point that I wanted to mention regarding Maulid al-Nabi, because people mention it regarding Abu Lahab. Regarding this surah, Tabbat Yada Abi Lahabin Watab, perhaps some of you might be surprised that why has Abu Lahab been mentioned by name in this surah, and why has his wife been mentioned in this surah? And the enemies of Islam were many, and the enemies of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam were many. Those who fought him, those who strived against him, those who tortured him and his companions. So why is it that Abu Lahab and his wife were mentioned, and Abu Lahab was mentioned by name in Surat Al-Lahab or Surat At-Tab? And this is for three reasons. Number one, that Abu Lahab was a chief of the Quraysh, and his statement would affect a lot of people, and what he said would be held in high esteem. And because often the tongue can be more dangerous than the sword, because of this, then Allah mentioned Abu Lahab by name in this surah, and he condemned him to Jahannam in this surah. This is the first reason. The second reason is to prove the Qur'an to be a mu'jaza, a miracle. That if Abu Lahab truly wants to disprove the Qur'an, then let him accept Islam, even if he's lying. And if he accepts Islam, then the surah will be false and the Qur'an will be false. But from the miracles of the Qur'an is that Abu Lahab, he wasn't able to do so. And then the third reason is in order to comfort the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Why? Because this was his uncle, somebody from his own family, from the side of his father. And in order to comfort the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then Abu Lahab was condemned for the actions or the things that he said. The story behind the revelation of this surah has been mentioned by Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma in Sahih al-Bukhari. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, he says that when Allah revealed the ayah وَأَنذِرْ عَشِيرَتَكَ الْأَقْرَبِينَ, that go out and warn your tribe members, your close relatives, go out and warn them in public. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, initially he was given revelation, but it was just revelation and he remained at home. After a while, then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was ordered to go and proclaim his message out in the open. And first go to ashiratak al-aqrabin, your close relatives or your close members of your tribe. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma said, Sa'ida an-nabiyyu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ala safa, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when this ayah was revealed, then he climbed Mount As-Safa. When this ayah was revealed, then he climbed Mount As-Safa. Faja'ala yunadi, and then he would shout out in a loud voice, Ya Bani Fihr, O tribe of Fihr, Ya Bani Adi, O tribe of Adi, Li Butuni Quraysh, and he would call out to the various tribes of Quraysh, Ya Bani Fulan, Ya Bani Fulan, come to me, listen to my message. Hatta ijtama'u, and then the various tribes, they came together. Faja'ala ar-rajulu idha lam yastati' an yakhruja, and if a man could not come out and go to the Prophet, arsala rasulan wa liyanzura mahu, then if a member of a tribe couldn't come out, then he would send a man, a messenger, to go out and to check what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Faja'a Abu Lahab wa Quraysh, and Abu Lahab came and along with him the other members of Quraysh. And pay attention here, that look, Abu Lahab is coming, and because he's the chief of the Quraysh, then he brings the Quraysh with him. All of them are following him. فَقَالَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ, so the Prophet said to them, أَرَأَيْتَكُمْ لَوْ أَخْبَرْتُكُمْ, that do you think if I was to inform you, أَنَّ خَيْلًا بِالْوَادِ تُرِيدُ أَن تُهِيرَ عَلَيْكُمْ, that if I was to inform you that there is an army in the valley behind us, and it is going to come and it is going to attack you. أَكُنْتُمْ مُصَدِّقِيَّ, if I told you that an army was coming in order to attack you, would you believe me? And all of the tribes and all of the Quraysh, all of them said, مَا جَرَّبْنَا عَلَيْكَ إِلَّا صِدْقًا, that we have never known from you any lie. The only thing that we know from you is that you speak the truth, meaning we would believe you. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to them, فَإِنِّي نَذِيرٌ لَكُمْ بَيْنَ يَدَيْ عَذَابٍ شَدِيدٍ, then indeed I've been sent to you before a painful punishment comes to you. I've been sent to you as a warner of a painful punishment which is about to come to you. Here everybody remained silent and nobody said anything, and they were listening to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the chiefs of the tribes. Here Abu Lahab, because of his status amongst the tribes, he said, Tabban laka sa'ir al-ayyam, that may you be destroyed all of the days. May every day of yours be destroyed and be at loss. Alihada jama'atana, that is it for this reason that you have called us? Is it for this that you have called us? And then as soon as this happened, and when he said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Tabban laka sa'ir al-ayyam, that may you be destroyed, may you be perished in all of the days, here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed, Tabbat yada Abi Lahabin watab, that rather the two hands of Abu Lahab, they are destroyed and they will be perished. And also the wife of Abu Lahab, she would go around and she would harm the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and her tongue was poisonous and venomous, and she would say poetry and recite poetry against the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Some of the scholars of the seerah, they mentioned, of course, the name of the Prophet was Muhammad, and the meaning of Muhammad is somebody who is praised, somebody who is thought of highly. And she used to call him Mudhammiman, i.e. somebody who is low and dispraised. She used to say, Mudhammiman Abayna, that as for the one who is low, i.e. the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then we refuse him. Wa dinuhu qalayna, and as for his religion, qalayna. Qalayna is from the word al-qila, which means al-bugh wal-hiqd, hatred. As for his religion, we despise it. Wa amruhu asayna, and as for his command, then we disobey. So she would say things like this about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Al-Imam al-Ahmad in his Musnad, he mentions that one day the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he went out to a market called Suq Dhil Majaz. He would go out to the markets and he would gather the people and he would say to them, Ya ayyuhan nas, O people, Qulu la ilaha illallah tuflihu. Say la ilaha illallah and you will be successful. And then he would go to another group of people and say, Ya ayyuhan nas, Ya qawm, O group of people, Qulu la ilaha illallah tuflihu. Say la ilaha illallah and you will be successful. In another narration, he went to a tribe and he said, Ya bani fulan, O to the tribe of so and so, Inni Rasulullah ilaykum. Indeed, I am a messenger of Allah to you. Amurukum an ta'budullah. I have come to command you to worship Allah. Wa la tushriku bihi shay'a. And do not ascribe partners to him. Wa an tusaddiqunani. And that you hold me to be truthful. Wa tamna'unani. And the meaning of tamna'unani here is that you protect me and you aid me. Hatta anfudha anillahi ma ba'athani bihi. Until I can fulfill the mission in which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has sent me. And there would be a man behind the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Wherever the Prophet went, this man would follow him. If he went to the marketplace, he would follow him to the marketplace. If he went to a public place, he would follow him to the public place. And then he would incite the people. He would say, "Hada kadhibun," this is a liar. "Hada sabi'un kadhibun," this is a person who has left his religion and he is a liar. And he's a madman, and so on and so forth. And when the people would ask that, who is this person? It was Abu Lahab. So this is how Abu Lahab and his wife, how they would harm and incite the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And in a narration, it is mentioned, yanfudhu yadayhi, that when he said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, tabban laka sa'ir al-ayyam, that may all of your days be destroyed, he would like shake his hands like this, dismissing the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then Allah revealed, "Tabbat yada Abi Lahabin wa tab," because he was shaking his hands like this, dismissive of the Prophet. Then Allah said that may the hands, the two hands of Abu Lahab, be perished and be destroyed. Tabbat ay khasirat, I destroyed and lost and perished. So this was a supplication against Abu Lahab. Then after this, some information came regarding Abu Lahab. مَا أَغْنَى عَنْهُ مَالُهُ وَمَا كَسَبْ, that on that day when he will be perished in the fire, neither his wealth will help him and neither will anything else which he has acquired help him. Meaning the authority which he has, the status which he has, the fact that he's a leader amongst the Quraysh, none of this will help him. His wealth, his silver coins, his gold coins, none of this will help him. And this is a principle on Yawm al-Qiyamah, that on the day of resurrection, when there has been oppression between the people, whether it's through speaking or physically, then your wealth and your gold coins, your silver coins, your property, your status, your children, nothing will come to avail. We ask Allah for safety and refuge and pardoning. In fact, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said in the hadith of Abi Huraira and Sahih Bukhari, Man kanat indahu mazlamatun li akhihi, that whoever has with him a right or an oppression against his brother, falyatahallilhu, then let him apologize or repay this right or fulfill this right. Qabla an ya'tiya yawmun la dinarun fihi wa la dirhama, before a day comes when there will be no gold coins and there will be no silver coins. يُؤْخَذُ لِأَخِيهِ مِنْ حَسَنَاتِهِ, the good deeds of this person will be taken and given to his brother who he has oppressed. And if there are no good deeds left, then the bad deeds of that oppressed person are taken, فَطُرِحَ عَلَيْهِ, and then they'll be given to that person. So this is a principle on Yawm al-Qiyamah. Silver coins, gold coins, children, bargaining, pleading, apologizing, on that day it will have no effect. Rather, good deeds and bad deeds will be exchanged. So Allah said regarding him, تَبَّتْ يَدَا أَبِي لَهَبٍ وَتَبْ, may the two hands of Abu Lahab be perished because of the gesture that Abu Lahab was making. And then Allah said that neither will his wealth help him and neither will anything else which he has acquired help him. سَيَصْلَى نَارٌ ذَاتَ لَهَبْ, he will remain and burn in a fire which is very severe, which is blazing, a blazing fire. وَمْرَأَتُهُ حَمَّالَةَ الْحِطَبِ, and then Allah spoke about the wife of Abu Lahab, that as for his wife, Jamil bint Harb, and she, again she was from the Sadat of Quraysh, from the people of authority, the women of authority amongst the Quraysh, then she will also be punished. And what is her punishment? Is that she will be carrying the wood or the fuel for the fire which burns Abu Lahab. And the question is that why is the wife of Abu Lahab, why is she carrying the wood that is going to be burning Abu Lahab? And the scholars, they have a principle or a phrase which you should memorize, and they say, Al-jaza'u min jinsil amal. Previously we gave you another principle or phrase that the scholars mentioned. We said, when it came to Surah Al-Ikhlas, and that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, Surah Al-Ikhlas ta'dilu thuluth al-Qur'an, that Surah Al-Ikhlas is equal to a third of the Qur'an. We said that the scholars say, Al-jaza' wa lays al-ijza', i.e. the reward of it, not that it takes the place of a third of the Qur'an. There's another principle that they mention, and it is, Al-jaza'u min jinsil amal, that the reward that a person receives, or the punishment that a person receives, is according to or the same type as the actions that a person used to do. And I'll give you an example. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, وَاللَّهُ فِي عَوْنِ الْعَبْدِ مَا كَانَ الْعَبْدُ فِي عَوْنِ أَخِي, that Allah is there in the help of his slave as long as his slave is helping his brother. So because your action is helping your brother, then the reward that you get from Allah is the same, that Allah will also help you. So your reward is equal to or according to the type of action that you did. For example, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, مَنْ سَتَرَ عَوْرَةَ أَخِيهِ سَتَرَ اللَّهُ عَوْرَتَهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ, whoever hides and conceals the mistakes and the sins of his Muslim brother in this dunya, then Allah will hide and conceal his sins on Yawm al-Qiyamah. So because your good deed was hiding the sin of your Muslim brother in the dunya, then Allah rewards you with a similar type of reward, the same type, that he then hides your sin on Yawm al-Qiyamah. And like this, the punishment of the wife of Abu Lahab. Just as his wife used to help him and aid him in speaking against Islam and harming Islam, then similarly on Yawm al-Qiyamah, she will be helping him and aiding him burn in the fire. Why? Because al-jaza min jins al-amal. The punishment is the same type as the action that she was doing. She was helping him in this dunya in harming Islam. So on the day of resurrection, she's also going to be helping him. But she's going to help him in being burnt in the fire by carrying the wood and burning him. And some of the other mufassirun like Mujahid and Ikram and others than them, they said that at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, she used to carry lies and slanders, and she used to pass slanders amongst the people regarding the Prophet and Islam and the companions. Wal jaza'u min jins al-amal, and her action or her punishment is according to her action. Just like she used to carry slanders and carry lies about the Prophet, then on Yawm al-Qiyamah, she will carry the firewood for her husband Abu Lahab. And then Allah said in the Quran, "Fi jidiha hablum min masad," that she will be wearing a necklace of fire, a necklace from Jahannam? Why will she be wearing a necklace from fire in Jahannam? The same reason. Al-jaza min jins al-amal. Because it is said and it is reported that she used to have a very expensive necklace. And she took off this necklace, and she said, لَأَنْفِقَنَّهَا فِي عَدَاوَةِ مُحَمَّدٍ, that I'm going to sell this necklace, this very expensive necklace, and the money I receive from it, I'm going to spend this money in harming and being an enemy to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So, because al-jaza min jins al-amal, then Allah adorned her or gave her a necklace from the fire to wear on Yawm al-Qiyamah. And this is the ending of this chapter and this surah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us understanding of the Qur'an, to make us from those people who, when we hear guidance, that we act upon it, and when we hear of evil, that we stay away from it. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save us from the fire and the punishment of the fire, and to save us from our sins. Wallahu a'lam wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina wa sallam.